We're going to be doing the piece on Daf Dalad Amud Beis from the two dots to the two dots. So starting five lines from the top of the Amud, V'tana Maisi Lame Hocho, down until the two dots, about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. And we're just going to learn the Gemara Rashi. There's so many different ways to tackle this Gemara and even just to understand the Pshat of the Gemara. So I tried to do it, and we'll use this as a bit of a of an example. I just tried to do it very simply. How do I learn it without getting too involved in all the different ways that the different Rishonim and Acharonim learn it? Just how do I understand it based on what we've learned so far and based on what makes sense in the Gemara and the Rashi? So learn it along with me. We're going to read and translate the whole piece of Gemara, and we're just going to try and understand the Pshat. And in understanding the Pshat, we'll hopefully be able to understand some deeper ideas and concepts as well. And the first thing I actually want to ask some of you to volunteer a response to this, is what is the sugya about? Those of you who've been through this little piece of Gemara, if I were to say to you, what is its topic? If you were to give it a title, if you were to tell me in a sentence or two, what does this piece of Gemara deal with? How would you answer that? Oh, we must have a volunteer. We can't sit there quietly. Unless nobody's seen the Gemara, then you must tell me nobody's seen the Gemara, then I have to go much more slowly. But if you've seen the Gemara, have a stab at it. Just have a go.
This is the reason why I did not want to sit in the front. But here we go. When I first started learning the Gemara, I was saying, well, what's the sugya all about? We already did this at the very beginning of the Gemara with Ki Yikah.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what are we going all over this, all over? Why doing this? It's repetition. What for?
So what?
And the Gemara gets really involved with it, with the Kavah Chomers and Amma Ivriya and all the rest. And I was, but we have Kicha to stay upright. It's a perfect source. What are we doing? I don't know why the Gemara had to bring this in again. I know it says Betane Mesi Lenehafa. Why? Why learn it from another spot?
Okay, yeah, fantastic.
Good spot from Kicha. Why do you need to learn from another spot?
Fantastic. Good starting point. Let's get some other responses. Any response to your comment or anybody's own response? Just have a stab at it. There's no right or wrong. Let's see where you're holding.
Maybe the way of saying some alternative shot them.
Why? Why do we need that? Anybody else? Does anybody want to take a stab at it? How did you understand? You must have understood something. What is it about? What's happening? What's going on here? Anybody there? I can't hear anybody.
Please.
My question is just, what is this piece of, we're talking about the piece of Gemara from the two dots at the top of Dalad Amud Beis to the two dots at the bottom, and I'm asking, as you learned the Gemara, how did you understand? I'm not asking for a right or wrong answer. I'm just asking, how did you approach it? If I were to say to you, what is the subject matter of this piece of Gemara? What is this Gemara dealing with? What would your answer be? That's always a very useful question to ask when you go through a piece of Gemara. Are we getting any responses?
My response is going to be just that, what is the source of
Kinyan Kesef? Okay, great. What is the source of Kinyan Kesef? Although we've already clarified on Daf Gimel, under Gimel Amud Beis, wasn't it? We've already clarified that the source is V'yotzo Chinom En Kesef. Isn't that right? Because that was where we asked the question. Minalon that it's be Kesef. Milanan de Bekanya Bekesev, Bekesev de Avuahu. So that is the place, if we were going to have this Brisa at all, that's where it should have come, and we've already dealt with it there. So yes, there's another source here of Kicho. So you might say what this Gemara is doing is bringing the alternative source. We had one source from Vyotso Chinom in Kosef, and this is an alternative source, is what you might try and say. And we're looking at sources. Do you want to see something really interesting that I noticed only today? The Masoris HaShas is also an interesting Achron. He's not just a reference, it's not just a computer hyperlink. The Masoris HaShas also has Pshat in the Gemara. And if you look on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, I noticed something very interesting, that where the Gemara brings on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the first time we have the limud of Kicho Kicho, the Gemara brings Gomar Kicho Kicho Misdei Ephron. There's a little reference to the Masoris HaShas. In my Gemara, it's a little Gimel. Sometimes they have different references. And for Gimel, it says, although in parenthesis, it says, Lekamon Daf Gimel and Daf Yud Aleph. Notice it doesn't even reference Daf Dalet. Do you notice that? And if you don't go to Gimel Amud Aleph, and you see where the Gemara makes reference to Kicho Kicho, the Gomar Kicho Kicho, it's about five lines from the bottom of the page. There too, there's a little reference to the Masoris HaShas. Once again, it's the little Dalet in my Gemara. Le'el Daf Beis Amud Aleph. It refers us back to Beis, but it doesn't bring Dalet Amud Aleph. And if you go to Yud Aleph, it also refers you back to Beis. Nowhere in the Masoris HaShas does he reference this as the place that we originate the limud of Kicho Kicho Misdei Ephron, which is interesting. So it seems that the Masoris HaShas learns that that's not what this Gemara is about. As you said right in the very beginning, why would it be about that we've already established where we're learning these things from? What is it about? So as I learned through the Gemara, this is what I felt the Gemara was about, and we'll take it through and we'll play with the idea. I felt the Gemara was asking two questions and clarifying two ideas. Number one, what is the role of Kesef? We're drilling deeper into what the Kesef does. Does the Kesef do anything, or is the Kesef symbolic? Now, we've talked around that issue, but we've never drilled deeply into it in the Gemara yet. So the first question in this sugya is, what is the role of Kesef? Does the Kesef act? Is it poel? Does it actually work in the Kinyan? Or is it merely symbolic of some kind of transaction? And secondly, what is Amira? Because we've learned that there are two elements to this, to the Maisei Kiddushin. There's the Kinyan Kesef, and there's the Amira of Harayat Mekudeshesli. What is the Amira? Is the Amira clarification? Is it Birur? Like you would have in any Kinyan. If two people are doing a Kinyan, you would want somebody to make it clear what's happening. I'm buying your horse, or I'm selling the horse. Somebody has to actually say what's happening. So is the purpose of the Amira just to be Mevarer, that Kiddushin is taking place? Or is there, is there some kind of chalos in the dibur? Is the amiro an act of dedication? Is it, in English terminology, are we looking at clarification or dedication? Is it a kind of a hekdesh loshen, I'm dedicating you to me, and you can be with no one else, as Tosfos said earlier on? Or is it a loshen of clarification? The kinyan is kesef. But if Edim are watching and they don't know what I'm paying the money for, let's make it clear what I'm doing here. I'm being Mekadesh Yulisha. That's what I'm doing. That's what the Gemara starts to explore, is what I want to suggest. And let's try and learn through the Gemara and see how it plays out. So the Gemara uses, as the springboard for that discussion, the Gemara uses the Brisa. And says, from Vyotso Chinom in Kosef, we can learn nothing about the nature of the Kesef. All we can learn from Vyotso Chinom in Kosef is that there's a gzeres hakosef, that money passes hands, particularly in the case of a naira to her father, and from there we can learn the other cases too. But it tells us nothing about the philosophy of that kesef. What is the kesef actually doing? If we use the other posuk, we can probe a little more deeply. So the Gemara brings the other brisa. V'tana maisi lo mihacha. The other brisa brings it from here. The tanya we learned in the brisa. Ki yikach ish isho uve olo. If a man acquires a woman, a man takes a woman literally, and is boel that woman, he finds that he doesn't like her, and then he must give her a get, which tells us that the kicho was a serious action that created a bond that can only be undone with a get. And kicho elo bekesef, and the word kicho means kesef. So you see from here that Kicho has the power to bind the husband and wife in such a way that the only way they can unbind themselves is with a get. And we see that from this sort of semi-gzera shovo of Nosati Kesef Asodeh Kach Mimenu. Now, as we learn through this Gemara, we're going to be learning through the Rashi as well. You remember I told you right in the very beginning that we treat Rashi as part of the primary text. We don't just learn Gemara, we learn Gemara Rashi. Gemara on its own is dangerous. Gemara Rashi we can regard as our primary text, and then we move into Tosfos. But with Gemara and Rashi we do together. And the way I was always taught to learn, as I see some of you are doing, is use two fingers. My father used to say the most important limbs for learning, apart from your ears, are your two fingers. Because you need one on Rashi and one on the Gemara. Because the time it takes you to flip your attention from the Gemara to Rashi is enough to lose track. So if you're learning Gemara and Rashi as both of the primary texts, it's really important to use both fingers and to work down the page together at the same time. So get into it. It's a very, very good habit to learn with your finger. It focuses you on the word that you're on, and it keeps your place in the Rashi so that you can easily flip backwards and forwards between Rashi and Gemara without losing a moment of attention. So the Rashi is two lines from the top. V'tana maisi lo mehacho. Kidushe kesef de yolif luhu rav Yehuda de le'el me'en kosef. This mitzvah of kidushe kesef, this din of kidushe kesef, which Rav Yehuda Omar Rav learnt on Daf Gimel from Ein Kosef, Nafkilele Tano, the Tano of the Brisa, learns Mikicha des Deyefre. So it's the same limud. It's where is the source of Kiddushe Kesef. And we learn from Ki Yikach Isho Uve Olo, Vihitzricha HaKosuv Get LePoitro Mikicha Zu, and she needs a get to be patterned from this Kicho. This is an important part of it. It's not just to say that there's Kicho, that would be easy, but to understand that the Kicho is poel something so severe, it's poel dine isurim. That means by this financial transaction, she becomes an ashes ish that can only be undone by gitin, by get. So we're seeing this the power of kesef here is far greater than just a mere transaction. We're already beginning to unpack what this kesef is. And we see that from the sefer of the posuk where it says she needs a get. That's why the Brisa brings the whole posuk, including the end of it, where it says, and if he doesn't want her anymore and wants to get rid of her, then they need a get. Then back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, V'haloi dinhu. So still in the Brisa, it would appear. V'haloi dinhu. And why do we need a posuk? We should be able to work this out logically by means of a kal vachomer. Uma amo ha'ivrio she'eno niknes bevio. Niknes bekesef. An amo ha'ivrio cannot be acquired with kesef. It cannot be acquired with bia. But she can be acquired with kesef. Zush niknes bevio, a woman who can be niknes bevio, eno din shitikone bekesef. Surely kesef should work as well. And on this side, there's the obvious questions. Can somebody give me the obvious question why this appears to be absurd on the surface? What would you say? Anybody want to suggest why this is absurd? Sorry, I can't hear. Can somebody near the microphone repeat that?
How can we compare Yechasei Ishud?
Exactly. Exactly. The Ramban and the Ritva, others, the Rishonim asked this is preposterous to be able to suggest that Bia should work for an Amo. It's not appropriate. It's not the right Kinyan. It's not because Bia is stronger than Kesef or weaker than Kesef. It's got nothing to do with it. An Amo is a transaction of labor, and Ishus is a transaction of Ishus. What's the Havamina that you should even be able to use, that you should even be able to make that comparison? So they try and answer that at the end of the day, even an amo, the odin of an amo can convert using yehud, he can convert that kinyan kesef into a kinyan issues. So we see there's an element of issues, so maybe bia should work. Still a little bit preposterous to think that a man could acquire an ammo by means of bio just doesn't make any sense at all. So what do we have to do? How do we have to understand that? Let's learn the Rashi. V'haloi dinhu shetehe niknes bekesef mikal v'chomer. One can learn it out of a kal v'chomer that a woman can be niknes bekesef v'lama likro. B'ifen amu ivriyo she'eno niknes bevio im mesoro le lebio l'shem shifcho eino shifchose bekach. If a man hands over his daughter for beer, for the purpose of her becoming a shifcho, she does not become a shifcho. It doesn't do anything at all. Whereas an isha who's niknes bekesef kidichtiv mikesef miknoso, where she is niknes bekesef kidichtiv mikesef miknoso, zu a woman she niknes bevia kidiyalef lekaman miuva Allah. Surely kal vachomer it should work. So how do we understand the Gemara? The Gemara must be saying, If kesef is, again, remember my introduction in saying that the subject matter of this Gemara is kinyan kesef. It's not about beer. It's about kinyan kesef. If kinyan kesef is a means of acquiring ownership in a woman, then we must look at the other kinyonim that do that too. And we have to say if the role of kesef is the acquisition of ownership, then the role of bio is also acquisition of ownership, because you don't need to do bio and kesef. If a husband is kone with bio, that's a complete kinyan. So if looking at kesef, if the role of kesef is acquisition, then the role of bio is acquisition. If you can acquire rights in a woman through a maise bio, then why wouldn't you be able to do it with an amo as well? That's the way you acquire ownership in a woman. If a man acquires ownership in a woman, that's the way it's done. So if that doesn't work, and the Gemara then says, no, well, it clearly doesn't work because of Yavoma. Let's see what the Gemara wants to suggest. Says the Gemara Yavoma, it says still the Braisa, Yavoma techiach. She niknes bevia ve'eno niknes bekesef. You can see that bio works differently from kesef, and because in the case of Yavoma, kesef doesn't work at all, but bio does. So you can't make a comparison. You can't say that if bio is a way of, if kesef is a way of acquiring a woman, so is bio, and therefore if an amor can be niknes bekesef, if an amor can be niknes bekesef, kol shchein an isha can be niknes bekesef because she can be niknes bebio. You see from Yavoma that bio is a different category of kinyan altogether, and it doesn't. It's not an act of acquisition of ownership. It's different. Says the Gemara, no, Mali Yavoma Shekin Iknes Bishtar. Toma Bezush Iknes Bishtar. You can't bring any proof from Yavoma. Yavoma is a complete exception because Yavoma is not about ownership. Yavoma is about a continuation. It's a different parasha. Yavoma is not about ownership. So the Bia of Yavoma is different from the Bia of Ishus. The Bia that is Koine a Yavoma is not the same Bia that is Koine an Isha. Those are two different maisim, they're two different kinyonim, they're two different packs of halacha, they work differently. The one can be by force and the one cannot be. They're completely different. You can't bring any kind of raya from Yavoma. Back in Rashi, Yavoma in a niknes bekesef, li yavom, li yus ki ishto, lo hitzio beget, belo chalitza, ki dirav lekaman, Yavoma yavo ala v'yivmo, bia gomeres bo, v'en kesef gomer bo. We learn from Psukim that there's no way to be koine a Yavoma other than bia. Back in the Gemara, Talmud lo yomar ki yikach ish. So we need ki yikach ish. Ki yikach ish tells us something about the nature of this kinyan kesef and how it operates. Says the Gemara now, ho lama likro, ho atyelo. This doesn't make any sense at all, because if you go through the brisa as we've just done, we're left with a valid kal vachomer. We wanted to bring a kal vachomer from Amo. We said, but Yavoma makes that impossible. You can't learn from Yavoma. Proves that the kal vachomer is wrong. It's perech the kal vachomer. And then the Gemara says, but no, you can't bring any. You can't even bring Yavoma into the discussion, which leaves you with a valid kal vachomer. So why not learn from the kal vachomer? What are we using ki yikach for? Omar Ravashi explains Ravashi, mishum deikol lemeimer meikora de dina pircha. The whole kal vachomer is flawed from the beginning. And it's very difficult to understand. Ravashi is explaining now, but how do you understand Pshat and the Braisa? So understand that, why doesn't the Braisa say that? Why doesn't the Braisa say that you need a pasuk because the kavachomer is flawed. Rice tries to bring a kavachomer, then brings yevomer, then throws out yevomer, and then just goes silent. So the Bryce is difficult. But Ravashi says what's going on here really is the kavachomer is not a serious kavachomer to start with, because it's flawed from the very beginning. The ikel meimer may korod dina pircha mehecha komaisisla. Where did you want to bring the whole thing from? The core of it was me amo ivrio, but there's a big difference. Mal amo ivrio sheken yotzo bekesef toma bezu sheena yotzo bekesef. Talmud loymer ki yikach. I can't learn from Amo Ivrio, because Amo Ivrio can get herself out of the contract with money as well. Says Rashi, Mi kora de dina mi mokum she'ato bo lilmoid, from the very place, the root of where you're trying to bring the whole Kal Vachomer, and notice that word, Mi kora, that it's the root, it's the absolute origin of the whole source of logic. Mimokum sha'ato bo lilmud, dehainu amo ha'ivriyo, yesh lahashiv. You can attack the Kal Vachomer at its core, at its source. Ulhochi koma meikoru dedina pircha, sha'ata shuva shehishiv bitachilo, yavoma techiach, lav meikoru dedina atya ila mimokum acher. The kasha from the pircha we asked from Yavoma, that's not even such a good pircha, because we're kind of bringing an outside issue. We're trying to prove something from the outside. There's a much more severe problem with this Kal Vachomer, and that's its very source. Because at the very source, Shekein Yotza Bekesef Shizrashi, Shepoido Es Atzma Betoich Sheish, Shonim Im Tirtze, she can redeem herself any time during the 6 years, if she wishes. Kidichtiv Vahevdo, Vohoil Vekesef Choshuv Bo Lifdoiso, Choshuv Nami Liknoiso. Since she can get herself out with kesef, she can also be acquired with kesef. But an isha she'eno yotza b'kesef, kesef k'denafkelon, misefer korsov ein dover acher korsov. So we're going to learn further on that only a get can terminate a marriage. She can't buy herself out. There's no way, no matter how much money, a woman can't buy herself out of a marriage. The only way to get out of a marriage is with a get. So what is Ravashi? Ravashi's been mechadish something really important here. What Ravashi has said is the kesef of Amo and the kesef of Ishus are non-comparable. They're two completely different kinyonim. Just as we said a few moments ago that the bia of a Yavoma and the bia of an Isha are two different kinyonim completely, although the action is the same, the activity is the same, but the kinyon is completely different. So in the kesef paid for an amo and the kesef paid for an isha, those are two completely different things. The haraya, the proof is that an amo can buy herself out with kesef. What does that mean? That means that the kesef of an amo is much like the kesef of any other financial transaction. You can buy a house for cash and you can sell a house for cash. You can buy a car for cash and you can sell a car for cash. You can buy a contract, a labor contract. You can buy somebody's labor for 5 years, and he can buy himself out 2 years into the contract. That means the role of kesef in the case of amo is transactional. But since a woman can't buy herself out with kesef, you see the kesef is not transactional. The kesef is doing something else altogether. And therefore you can't learn kesef from amo from the beginning. The whole Kal Vachomer is wrong. Not because one is kal and one is chomer, and which is chomer and which is kal. That's not the issue. The issue is we need to understand that there's something absolutely unique about the Kinyan Kesef of Ishus that doesn't apply to any other Kinyan Kesef, not even to the Kinyan Kesef of Amo, and therefore there can be no limud in this respect from Amo to Ishu. That's what Rav Ashi is mechadish here, which is very, very big. So now we know that Kesef is different. And what is the nature of that difference? Well, now we've got to take it a little further and say, okay, so the kesef of Ishus is unique. That we learn from Ki Yikoch. We wouldn't learn that from V'yotza Chinom. That we wouldn't be able to learn. The uniqueness of kesef Ishus, we couldn't learn from V'yotza Chinom. But from Ki Yikoch, we can learn the uniqueness of it. Okay, so we know that it's unique. We still haven't answered whether it's a symbol or it actually does something. If it's transactional, we know it does something. It purchases, it buys. Now that we've said it doesn't do that, in the case of Amo, it's transactional. It's an investment. It purchases. But in the case of Ishus, it's something else. The question is, what is it? How does it work? Does it work? What does it do? So that's the next piece of Gemara. We actually need both of them in the Torah. It's true that Rav Yehuda learned the primary source as V'yotzo Chinom, and the Braisa learns the primary source of Ki Yikach, but we need both of them. De'ikos of Rachmana Ki Yikach, if we only would have had Ki Yikach, Hava Amina Kiddushin De'yovelo Baal Dido Havu. I would have thought in the case of a Naro, who is an independent young woman, I would have thought that the money she receives for Kiddushin she can keep. So V'yotzo Chinom Ein Kosef teaches us that the money belongs to the father, that the father is the owner of her Kiddushin, and he has the rights to it. Kosef Rachmana V'yotzo Chinom. So that part we don't need to go into heavily right now. The second part is what's really, really critical. V'i Kosef Rachmana V'yotzo Chinom. And if the Torah would have said V'yotzo Chinom, Hava Amina Hecha De Yohiv Ihi Ledidei, I would have thought that if she gives the money to him, V'kidashtoi, and she's Mekadesh him, Havu Kiddushi, it would be good Kiddushin. Kosav Rachmana Ki Yikach V'luk Tiki Tikach. That's why it says he must take her, not she must take him. Let's look at Rashi. She'eno V'itzrich L'michta V'yotzo Chinom. We need to learn the Kinyan Kesef from V'yotzo Chinom, and we need Ki'ikach because of Hechad, the Yahweh Eel, did a Kesef, Ikidash Toy, the Omrali, his Kaddishli. If she were to give him the money and say, be my husband, his Kaddishli, that wouldn't work. So let's just take a step back here and say, if Kesef was purely symbolic, it wouldn't matter who gave the kesef to who. It shouldn't make a difference if it was symbolic. Ki Yikach tells me he must give the kesef. In that case, it's not symbolic. If it has to be him, then it's not symbolic. So what is it? It's neither transactional nor is it symbolic. What is it doing? If it was the same kesef in the Havamina, when we set out in this whole sugya, we thought maybe it's transactional and can be compared to the kesef of Amma. No, says Ravashi, it's not like the Kesef of Amma. The Kesef of Amma is transactional. You can buy an Amma and she can buy herself back with Kesef. Not so an Isha. So the Kesef of an Isha is something different. What is the different? The Pashtus would have been, what's different is it's a symbol. It's a symbol of the onset. It's the moment at which a woman becomes an Ashes Ish. It's a symbol of that time. It's a Kinyan in the sense of from now on, this woman has changed her status. It's a demonstrator of changes, of status change, but it's not poel. It doesn't actually do anything. Says the Gemara now, if it didn't do anything, then she could do the symbol as well, as long as there was a clear symbol. What's the difference who gives the symbol? And that's why in modern weddings they want him to give her the ring and her to give him the ring. What difference does it make? It doesn't make. If it's just a symbol, who cares who gives what who? Who gives who what? But now the Gemara says it isn't just a symbol. He has to do it. So what is its nature? The nature of it then is, if you remember, I think it was in the first or the second Chaburah, I talked about the Loshon of Kicho, and you'll remember I mentioned that we use the Loshon of Kicho when we talk about Lekochoi Bidvorim, that there are two ways you can take something. You can take something and you can take someone. You can take something when you pay for it, and you acquire it. And you can take someone with words. You can seduce somebody. You can mislead them. You can mislead them. You can seduce them negatively, and you can seduce them positively. By being persuasive, you can persuade somebody to part with something they love. You can persuade something to give up of their somebody to give up of their time, to give up of their money. That's what every salesman's doing all the time. That in addition to the kinyonim that take place in a sales transaction, there's an amiro. There's an eloquence of speech that creates in the other person a desire to do what they're being asked to do. That's called seduction. And kicho is the art of seduction. And the husband, ki yikach ish isho, means the husband needs to get the wife to surrender to him. That's called to be mevatel her das. And so what we're looking at here, is kesef a symbol, or is kesef the instigator of surrender? And I'm using the word surrender as the English word for bitul das. That the
can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
If we're saying that kesef is a different for this case of acquiring a woman, it's not like a transaction, you can't give it back and forth. And how can we base it on kichichichim's de'efron, which is a transaction that money goes back and forth?
Great question. Tosfos asked that question on Daf Beis and said it isn't a real gzereshova because of that. For all sorts of reasons, it isn't really a real gzereshova. All we learn from de'efron is that the word kicho applies to a transaction, to a financial transaction. So there is a financial transaction that's taking place here. You're seducing her with two things. You're seducing her with words and you're seducing her with gift. You're giving her something of value that she can keep and you're saying something very, very beautiful to her. There's nothing more beautiful that a man can say to a woman than Hare at mekudeshesli. You are mine. You are only mine. You're nobody else's. I will take care of you. I will protect you and nobody else comes near us. That word of, there's nothing that a woman wants to hear, and she doesn't want to hear it only on the day of her chuppah. She wants to hear it every day of her life. There's nothing more beautiful and more heart penetrating than Hareyat Mekudeshesli. And to say Betabazu or Bekesevzu, here I'm giving you something so that you will take this and with your acceptance of this from me, surrender your exclusivity to me, which is the way we learned it on Daf Beis. So that's why Rashi says, there's sometimes a lot of difficulty around this Rashi. That's why Rashi says, "De omrele hiskadishli." There's got to be an amira too, because kicho means amira too. Kicho's not only about the money. And Rashi gets into some difficulty with Tosfos about this, about saying that, and we'll look at that in a moment. But this is an act, in other words, what we see from Kiyikoch is if he has to do it, he has to seduce her into surrendering. The Havamina was, she could do it. The Havamina is, it's a symbol. If it's a symbol, she could do the whole thing. The Havamina is, the money is a symbol, and the Dibur is a Loshen, is Biru. Here I'm giving you a symbol of a gold ring. She could be saying to him, I'm giving you a symbol of a gold ring. Hiskadishli, be my husband. Now the word Hiskadish, Tosfos objects and says, the word Hiskadish doesn't apply. To a man, because he's not also to other men, to other women, midrabonan and all sorts of other things, but beikar adim, the kiddushin doesn't make him a chetza shel iser. He doesn't become a baal isha like she becomes an ashes ish, and so the word hiskadish doesn't apply. But if you remember, just the very way Tosfos explained the word hiskadish, if we take it as a loshen of kiddushin, of dedication, of singleness, then it could apply just as well. She could be saying, Hiskadishli, be the only man to me, just as Hekdish cannot be used by anybody else except the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you are the only man that I will live with. You are the only man that I will be with. That's Hiskadishli. She's volunteering the Kiddushin. If it's symbolic, why can't she volunteer it? If it's just a matter of her becoming his, and it's an act of it's a ritual that has to take place, and the dibur is to clarify it, why can't she say it? That's the Havamina. Comes the Maskona and says, no, ki yikach ish isho teaches me that this is not symbolic. This is an act of seduction. And it's he who needs to seduce her to the point that she's mevatel her das to him, and gives away her exclusivity, willingly and happily, in return for the kesef she receives and the beautiful words that he has said to her. That's what we learn from ki yikach. So the whole nature of the kinyan kesef, of what happens under the chuppah when we give a woman a ring, is learned from this sugya. The technicality we've learned already, that there is a kinyan kesef, we know already. But what really happens? What's the dynamic? What's happening when a man gives a woman a ring? What's happening when a man says Hareyat Mekudeshesli? That we learn from this sugya here. Let's just go a little bit further, and then we'll see if there's some questions or comments. So Tosfos, you'll notice, asked, how can you even use the word kiddushin? If you look in the Tosfos, Hecha deyava lididei v'kiddashtoi, parallel to where we are at the moment, Pirish b'kuntrus, she'omeris hare ato mekudash li, v'koshe, she'are be'ish eino nofe loshin kiddushin, she'eino nesa b'kach lishar noshi. It's just not the right word. It doesn't apply to a man. So Tosfos says this can't be an issue with Havamina and Maskona. There can't even be a Havamina that she says it. True, Ki Yikach implies she says something. V'yesh lo'ema she'omeres hare ani mekudeshes loch. Yes, she says it. She's mevareres. she clarifies that I'm a mekudesh to you. It's an act of clarification. So the havamina is that the wording is wording of clarification, and the kesef is symbolic. Comes the Gemara and says, no, ki yikach teaches me that the kesef is not symbolic, and that and she cannot say the amira either, because the amira is part of the seduction. And it's not about her volunteering her seduction. It's about him being active in that process. And that just tells us a whole lot about making a woman secure. You remember we discussed right in the beginning, and I said to you, one of the reasons that I was in favor of learning Kiddushin was because when we learn such a lot about relationships from here, apart from learning the technicalities of Gemara and how to learn and all of that, we learn so much about the world of relationships. And you see here what's involved, and we said that the kinyonim are not just kinyonim. When the Torah gives us a kinyon, it's teaching us how you acquire a woman. That doesn't mean the legalities of acquiring a woman. It's that as well. But the Torah is not a legal system. The Torah tells us to make legal systems in any case. The Torah tells the goyim to make legal systems. So if the Torah was just a legal system, the Torah would say, get yourselves together and make yourself laws. And here's some guidelines. But the Torah doesn't. When the Torah gives us laws, They're not laws in the sense of a legal system. It's a system of life. It's a system of worldview. It's the way that Ribbono Shel Olam sees the world, how the Torah sees the world, and how we're meant to align ourselves with that vision of the world. So when the Torah says you koneh a woman with kesef, and the words the Torah uses ki yikach ish isho, and kicho means you koneh her with money and you koneh her with words, that's something that goes on and on in the relationship. That there's always this act of giving. It's his work. It's his avodah. It's not hers. She responds in all sorts of different ways, and we'll discuss that as we get to those areas. But the act of mastering a woman, owning a woman, possessing a woman, preserving the security of the relationship, that's his avodah, and he has to work at that from the moment of the chuppah, from the moment of the kiddushin, through every single day of the marriage. He's got to ask herself, was I mekadesh my wife today? Did I make her feel secure? Did I make her feel that she's mine? Did I make her feel that she's the only one? Did I invest in her? Was there an act of kicho? Did I seduce her? Did I use my words, and did I use my physical actions, and did I use my investment in giving her materially every single day to really build that relationship? This is a phenomenal piece of Gemara that goes so much further than just dealing with some technicalities of where it all comes from. Now, the fact that kicho is poel, it really does something, is clear. And amiro, then, is not just clarification. Amiro does something as well. And the various examples of the fact that amiro is much more than a clarification. And I'll just mention some of them. The one is the Avnei Miluim proves that an eved can't be a shaliach for kiddushin. You can't send an Eved to be Mekadesh and Isha, although according to many Rishonim, you can send an Eved to send a get. And the reason that the Avnei Miluim gives, Simon Lamed Hey, is the Eved Eino Bar Amira de Kiddushin. An Eved can't say an Amira. He can take the money. And why can't he say the Amira? If the Amira is just about handing over a message, if the Amira is just about clarifying a fact, why can't he say, I was sent to give you this ring, and to be Mekadesh you? What is so special about it? So you see that there's something that in the art, there are certain things, when it comes to Amira, there are certain Amiras you can't delegate to a Shiliach. And I don't remember...
Rabbi, I'm sorry for interrupting. What about Eliezer and Abraham? You sent the Shiliach to go Mekadesh
Yitzchak. Good question, and I don't know the answer. We'll have to ask them in a minute. It's a good question. Don't know the answer. Maybe before Matan Torah, so there was a certain latitude. The dinim of Eved were not as clarified. I'm not sure. I've heard, and I often mention, and I don't remember who said it initially, that the Moedim Derabonin, why the whole Chazoros HaShatz, the Shatz says, and when it comes to Moedim Derabonin, you've got to say it yourself. Because Hodor, thanks, is not something you can delegate. You can't say to somebody, tell Reuven, I say thank you. It doesn't work. Because thank you is the communication of an emotion. It's not the communication of information. Information you can communicate through a third party. You can't communicate an emotional attachment through a third party. You can't use a shliach for that. And when it comes to kiddushin, although a regular shliach you can use because shlichus shel adam kamoisei, but somebody who doesn't have the real dinim of shlichus for kiddushin specifically cannot say that amira on your behalf. You have to stand in front of the woman and you have to say that yourself, or it has to be a proper shliach who's really standing in your place. Another example that's given, some of the Achronim bring, is that the Tzoras Gittin and others bring that umdina doesn't work. So for example, if it's very clear what's happened, he gives the money and she says, Harei ani mekudesh eslach, and he says, hey, good, I'm happy. So everybody's on the same page. He gave money, she said this is about kiddushin, he said, yes, you're right, it is about kiddushin, we're now a married couple, but he didn't say the words Hareat Mekudeshesli. According to most poskim, that doesn't work. And that's because there's something in the Amira, it's not just a biru. There are Rishonim, the Ran and others, who hold that it's just biru, that the purpose of the Amira is just to clarify what's going on. And according to those shittas, it's quite, we would have to work out in this sugya, and I haven't got into it yet, we would have to work out, so what is, how does it work, and why can she not say it, why does he have to say it, why does there have to be that amira, why would an umdina not work, when we would have to clarify that. But the rov shittas are that there are some very clear requirements and halachas about that amira, and it's not just that if the situation is clear, we're okay with it. Even if the situation is clear, he actually has to say it. He actually has to say Hareat Mekudeshes or a Loshon that is very similar to that. So what starts off as seeming like a very technical piece of Gemara actually lands up at drilling much deeper down into the nature of Kinyan Kesef and the Amira that goes with it to a level that we didn't have before. Merely using the Brisa of the Tana Maisilo Mehacha, using that merely as a springboard from which to probe and to understand. And by taking the Kal Vachomer to pieces and coming to Rav Ashi's understanding of why that Kal Vachomer doesn't work, that's when we really get down to the essence of the uniqueness of Kicho, or the uniqueness of Kesef by Ishus, and the fact that although it's unique, and it is unique not as a symbol, it's unique as something which is poel, but it's not poel transactionally, as in the case of Amo, it's poel in the sense of Bitul Das and surrender. The role of Kesef is to create surrender in the woman, not to do a transaction with the woman. So that's the piece of Gemara this far. If there are any comments or questions, we'd be happy to take it. And Emir Tzashim, next week we'll move on to the next piece of Gemara. I will try and give you some more direction during the week, but I can't promise it until next week. I'll do my best.